Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. Port Hope Council passed its $29.5 million budget earlier this week. For the average taxpayer, it will mean an extra $178 per year, according to a presentation made to Council. There was lots of debate. Besides politicians, nearly 1,450 people filled out a survey to give input. In this interview, Councillor Les Andrews gives insight into some of the factors he and Council were considering as they prepared to give final approval. He will explain some of the increases and cuts under consideration as the interview was done prior to the final debate. You decide if Council made the right decisions in the end. I'm so pleased to have with me today Port Hope Councillor Les Andrews. Welcome back to Consider This Northumberland.
Oh, thanks, Rob. Nice to be able to talk to you again.
Les, it's customary for Council to give staff direction before work on the budgets begin. What was the percentage increase you gave them as a target for 2025?
We knew it was going to be a tough year, and we were hoping to keep it around 5%. Whether that was realistic or not, with inflation and union pressure, et cetera, or not, it was just sort of a ballpark that we pulled up and said that, you know, that could be something we could live with.
However, when it came to Council, it looked like it was a 6.9% increase to begin with. Explain to us why it was so much more than what you had asked.
Well, you know, was our ask realistic or unrealistic, first of all? So I know that staff spent many, many hours line by line going through what was essential, what wasn't, paring it down, and it came up with their figure, which, as you say, is just slightly under 7%. It may go down marginally, but before we had ratified on the 26th. But, you know, I don't know if they really went over our figure or our figure was unrealistic.
So this draft budget that was presented at Council at this recent meeting, the documents overall suggest this 7% increase that we're just talking about. So let's start with you. What was your immediate reaction to that number?
Well, you know, it's high. But what can you really do when you've got, you're drawing water from the same well, meaning the taxpayer, it hasn't changed. It's the same taxpayer. We haven't increased our growth in terms of either residential development or new industry, so we're going to the well again and again and again, and unless we increase the size of the well by bringing in either new development or new industry, we're going to go down a very spirally path that it's just going to get more and more expensive for the few people that we're drawing on.
So before we get into the details, what priorities when it came to capital spending on infrastructure and similar items? What were some of the other areas that you asked staff to give particular attention to?
Well, staff came to us, actually, which they said, look, we have a number of unfinished projects from prior years. We are going to concentrate on these projects and getting them finished because we funded them. You know, that's already been included in the tax levy from years before, and these projects haven't been completed. So we're not going to take on new debt or for projects until we get these completed. And the only things that we're going to look at capitalizing are things that are essential. And, you know, like fire engine and things like that. We'll get into the details of what is included in the capital budget. But operationally, you know, there's we have union pressure, we have inflation pressure, just like everybody else, and lack of growth.
So let's get into the weeds then. Policing represents a large portion of the overall budget. It's asking for an increase of 6.7%. Now, in its presentation to council, it's asking for more officers. Plus, it's needing to meet new provincial rules and regulations. What is council's response to this request?
Well, let's break that down, because the 6.7 is made up of the OPP, the municipal police, or our Port Hope police, and the board. The board is negligible. There was very little change, and we're such a small part of that budget anyways. The OPP came in at a 16.6% increase, so they went from around 600 to over $705,000, so about $110,000 increase. So that impacted it. And then the policing themselves, we came in actually at 4% for the municipal police, plus a 2% other charge that was related to the fact that we are now doing our own payroll. The municipality, the finance department in the municipality, no longer is doing the payroll and benefits administration for the police. So the CAO suggested mid last year that we hire our own payroll person, and they wouldn't bring in a second person in the municipality. So we got stuck with that part of the budget, which is not a big sticking point, because the person we picked up as a payroll person is excellent, and that's going to resolve a lot of day-to-day problems with administration at the police. Now, we could have just as easily said, okay, we can give you a much lower percentage increase for policing if, A, we didn't have to carry the debenture in our budget on the building, because it's really not our building, it's a municipal building, but we are carrying it in our budget. Two, we could use more of our screening reserve for operational costs and reduce the budget. Three, we fund through our reserve all capital items. If the municipality wants to start buying us police cars, that's fine. We can get that off our books, put it on the municipal books. And four, we fund through our reserve the unfunded liability for future benefit payouts and pension payouts. So we do four things that are not common throughout the rest of the municipality, and we're carrying them on our books.
Okay, there was a lot packed into that answer, and I'd like to unpick it a little bit in a couple of areas. First of all, you mentioned that there was over $100,000 increase in the OPP request, and I'm just wondering, what was the rationale for that?
None. We will retain the base services that we have in the past number of years. The reason for the increase is that the OPP received through their bargaining a pretty good increase, to making them the highest paid in Ontario, and they're just passing on their increase to us. They've done similarly. I think Wasaga Beach was hit with a 28% increase. Collingwood was hit with a $1.2 million increase from the OPP on their budget. And it's all over. It's, you know, it's not just us.
This was a topic of a recent debate at council, where councillors were wondering what they could do to reduce the costs of policing. With this kind of an increase and this kind of pressure on the budget, well, how much debate was there over this increase?
Well, I gave you the four things that I thought we could do that to help mitigate. And the other thing I put out there, but I didn't get any response from council was that maybe we should be looking at using our urban police to do the rural portion. And I think we could, I think it would be worthwhile doing a study to see what the cost implications would be. I could give you a ballpark, but I'd be speculating right now. But I know that we could beat the $700,000 figure.
Now, what about, though, the strategic goals that the police service has? I mean, they were talking about more officers. They've got all these pressures for these new provincial rules and regulations. How is that reflected in the budget? Are we going to see more officers on the street?
Right now, we don't have plans to put any more on the street. We still have to go through union negotiations, and they're coming up starting at the beginning of December. And we'll see what the impacts of that are, and then we'll figure out whether we can afford to put more policing in place.
The library is asking for more than 11% increase in its budget. Is this realistic?
We sent the library back to have a hard look at their numbers, and we even suggested that our mayor and director of finance spend some time with the library and their board, and they did this a week ago Friday, and they were able to drop that number down to, I believe, around 9% budget increase from the 13.
Now, a big part of that is staffing costs, and it was mentioned in their presentation to council that not doing a sufficient budget increase could cut current service levels. In other words, in all the reduction scenarios that they showed council, it would impact the hub. That's the branch in Canton. It obviously, that's an important part, but in the budget documents, it talks about closing the branch in Canton. Is that going to stay open, or is that part of this cutback that you've mentioned?
No, it's going to stay open, and whether we reduce any hours at all will have to be seen. But with the reduction in their budget that we were able to mutually agree upon on last Friday, it would not warrant the closing of the Canton hub.
The CAO has an operating budget, and it's proposing a nearly 25% increase. Can you elaborate on what is needed?
Yeah, so what happened was that in the prior budgets, our human resource person reported through the director of finance. And when our new CAO took over, HR reported to the CAO. So you'll see a reduction in the finance overall full-time employee and a increase in the CAO budget. But that also includes a deputy HR person. So we have two people reporting in the HR function in the CAO, and that's what's driven that 25%.
I noticed in the budget that the HBIA, that's the Downtown Business Group, its budget has been cut by nearly half. Why is that?
Well, they get funding through increased taxes to the shop owners or the business owners in the HBIA area. And I think they still have some monies in their budget and don't necessarily need any more money from us.
But with the construction of the last number of months and all the stresses that they've been under, why would you want to reduce it at this particular time? Why wouldn't you want to keep putting money into the downtown to get it back up and on its feet?
Well, that's up to the HBIA. That's their program. We have our separate area in economic development and tourism that we put our money in. And the community improvement program. So we have a number of things outside of the HBIA. And the HBIA budget is minimal. Like, it's, I think, all up about $60,000. And part of that goes to a person to help them run it. as in an administrator, and the rest is to beautification, etc. So we're really not impacting anything from the HBIA. And if we are, I'm sure they'll come screaming back to us.
The planning department is getting its budget cut. And in a time when there is so much pressure for building affordable housing and with all the demands to get plans through in a timely manner, why would council want to be cutting the planning budget?
The planning budget isn't, if you look at the details of the planning budget, the number of building permits, etc., has dropped significantly. So that means the amount of activity for development has gone down. And, you know, there's, unless we attract either new residential development or major industry, but we're going to be continue in a spiral that is not going to be, it's not the best scenario going forward.
Okay, I'm still unclear then. If you're going to be trying to promote development and promote industry to come, then again, isn't that going to put pressure on the planning department? Or I'm not clear why you think it's okay to cut it for the next year.
The other thing is that we've had reduced staffing in planning department, not at our bequest, but because of circumstances where everybody is in, the planners are in great demand. So it's sort of a seller's market. And we would love to attract a couple more. We've got two vacancies. So that alone would account for some of the decrease you're talking about. We're just not paying those salaries because we can't get the people.
There were a lot of requests for grants and donations. How are those things being handled this round?
We pre-handled them in October. We had a special meeting. We went through all the grant applications, all the foundation requirements, and decided we minimized, we did not go over budget. We did not go over last year's budget. We came in slightly below. So I believe there were 10 people that got grant funding. And then the big three were, of course, the Capitol Theater, Float Your Fanny, and I want to say Cultivate. It's not Cultivate. It's the, it'll come to me. It's the another arts foundational grant. So we preset them. There was some discussion at yesterday's meeting to eliminate that for this year, and the council voted against doing that. We will review grants and foundational funding again in 2025. Like, comparatively speaking, I believe Coburg gives about an eighth in grants to what we give in Port Hope.
But there are some key groups that were asking for money. I mean, we're talking United Way, the Highland Games, the Food Bank. They were all asking. And those are organizations that do a lot of work within your community. Why weren't you supporting them as well?
Well, we did. We supported Food Bank, and we United Way gets funding from many other sources, so they're more standalone. We're trying to catch the ones, things that are falling below falling in the cracks that don't have the ability to raise money, but are still very, very involved in our community. So, you know, we have a lot of asks. We, you know, you can't fund everybody. You do the best you can with the money you have, and that's it. I mean, Cultivate, I don't think we funded Cultivate again this year. I mean, they're a little more self-sustaining. So there were a number of people that, you know, had managed to rise above a certain level and were able to attract money other than us. I mean, we're not in the business to fund all these things. We, you know, like, this is all tax levy money, so we got to be very careful how we spend it.
So what's next for the budget then? You had your big discussion earlier. Now where does it go, and what, when do the final decisions get made?
We get another kick at it on the November 26th at our council meeting. So that's Tuesday. And then we if there's, it'll be further, if there's further discussion, it'll occur then, and then it'll be passed or not passed. It'll probably be passed, though.
Les Andrews, I want to thank you so much for talking to me today.
Oh, you're welcome.
That was Port Hope Councillor Les Andrews. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.